You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Either way, until the next time round. Find out what it means. Everton will break your heart, but they're still your team.
We are back on the weekly show here on the Blue Room. Matt Jones, joined by Dave Downey and Les Roberts. We were just showing our pens off to each other before we started, or making notes today. Very important we get things down, do proper preparations, because the start of a new season starts with me to go on, eh, Dave?
Well, yeah, some of us have got pens, yeah. It will be starting as we mean to go on, yeah. I'm going to have to sit here and use my phone instead, so... Apologies to those who, for some reason, might be looking my way during this podcast. So, yeah, they'll be down quite a bit. When normally, if I've got my pad, I can just do it there and make some notes on the sly without looking like I'm distracted by anything. So,
Les is always prepared because I think, although Mailbag's the show which has sort of got the most nonsense in it, I think it requires the most preparation for sure.
Oh, God, yeah, I prepared that down to the final dot, basically. Yeah, I go into that one very prepared. I've got like a Google sheet with all the questions on and everything.
Yeah, those intros don't write themselves.
People, to be honest, because it's an absolute shambles, the show, but there you go.
if you haven't watched that, by the way, it's from the weekend you did before the game, didn't you, with Warren, Matt and Laura?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was a good laugh, actually. It was nice to finally get out and see people again, because I don't think we've done Mailbag in person since February 2020. And the last one, that was with Hannah and Mike and maybe Jack. So yeah, it was nice to get out in there. Jimmy's is a cracking pre-match venue, to be honest, as well. Beer's good and the food's good, so.
Yeah, go and give that a watch if you haven't already. We are, of course, here to speak about all things Everton. We'll talk a little bit about the game at the weekend again, how maybe we've all calmed down or not calmed down. Maybe we're all still on the high from what happened on Saturday. But we'll start turning our attention towards Leeds at the end of the show. We'll also have a chat about Moise Kean, who is... unarchived his Instagram pictures of Everton, I think you could probably say, they're all back on, so he's back, the toppies are back in his good books. James Rodriguez is still here as well, although that situation could very much change given how often he's on Twitch playing Call of Duty and just dropping off the cuff remarks. we'll never know there. And we'll also have a chat about Sean Longstaff, who apparently Everton are going to make a £10 million bid for, according to some reports that just broke before we came on air. But the most important thing, I think everyone's desperate to know, anyone who listens to the post-match on Saturday would be desperate to know, is Dave, have you received your formal letter of apology / compensation of Everton for your phone being scratched / the stress that was caused by you not being able to get into the ground at, what, 10 past one was it on Saturday?
Listen, let's not throw stones in glass houses here, Matt. Just because you don't arrive at the ground till 3:30, I think you go for your half-time pie before you've even seen a ball kicked when you get into Goodison. So let's not go there. But alas, no, I haven't received no such apology, despite a couple of DMs and whatnot as to why the situation arose. And the replies I got on Twitter were highly positive, which is a good thing. It seems like I was in the minority of people that struggled with the sort of contactless digital scanner or whatever it is that they've decided to erect at the entrance that I bestow upon Goodison when I make my way to the ground. And so, like, the thing I would like is the actual cards that I've paid for now, because this season I'm sharing my season ticket with Hannah. And obviously she won't be able to get in under the current digital restrictions, shall we say, obviously because she's not me and my name's on the season ticket. So the only way to get around that, and I do hope some club officials are tuning in to watch this, is by using the card, like old school days. Like if I sold my ticket to somebody, if I gave my ticket away, as I often did in the last few years, I'd have to give the person the card and they could get in no problem whatsoever. It's an adult season ticket, so there's no way like I'm getting people getting away with any money or things like that. So I certainly hope it's here by, I think, is it Burnley, our next home game, which is the start of September. We, of course, have got Leeds. Well, we've got a triple header of away games coming up, haven't we? We've got Leeds, Huddersfield and Brighton, which I'm hoping to be at least two of those three games. I presume will be issued proper standard cardboard tickets for those, which will take away any of the pain or anxiety they've got about getting into a ground.
Les, did you have any issues getting in the weekend, mate, or was it all seamless?
No, it all went a bit too well, to be honest.
Were you card, Les, or digital?
No, I went card because sometimes the kids can't make it or they can't be asked.
Yeah.
So basically, we'll upgrade the card and give it to one of your mates then. So it's just easy to do that. So that's why I read it. But yeah, it was dead easy. We went in our normal turnstile and everything. So it all went pretty well, yeah.
Well, the other side of that, Les, to sort of feed onto that, is obviously the club's sort of self-made ticket and service, if you need to sell your ticket, is still yet to be made. It's still yet to be released. I mean, it's not like they've had the best part of 2 years to do this, is it? But obviously, we're all, I think I speak for most fans when they were pretty happy that StubHub were no longer going to be the custodians of that particular issue. And the fact that they announced they were going to make an in-house sort of bespoke service was really welcoming. I was really happy when I saw that. The fact that it wasn't in place at all and we've seen no announcement since is a bit worrying. I wonder how long it will take. You would expect at least for it to be available for the next home game.
Yeah.
But the longer it goes on, that's a little bit of a concern, because how else are we going to shift our tickets in a safe way, really, other than, you know, what's the alternative? You meet up with somebody, which obviously I've never had a particular interest with issue with meeting up with anyone who have bought a ticket or sold a ticket to. But there are those things that crop up. It's like when you sell something on Gumtree and all that, you have to make sure you're in a public space and all that sort of thing, don't you? So, yeah, it's a little bit of a concern that for me, because it's taken forever. And when on earth are they going to get the next delivery of plastic in order to issue the people who've bought cards for £5, by the way? When's that going to happen? Do you know what I mean? I can't believe that we're in the middle of 2021 and we're still having issues like this. What's going on?
Maybe you should just use like a different material, like use wood. You can have like a wooden season ticket or like metal
season wooden
tickets.
Get the wooden
season tickets. Exactly, yeah. You know, metal season tickets or something like that. Maybe it's the time to branch out into different textures and materials to make season tickets for
like one of those Americans, like one of those American psycho business cards, something like that. Yeah, it seems to me like the season sort of crept up on them somehow, because they didn't have the digital thing sorted, and then they sort of thought, oh, hang on, we better get everyone down to test this. And that was really late in the day. And the fact that they've jibbed off StubHub and haven't got their own in-house thing sorted, it's a bit weird, isn't it? I mean, it's very evident. It's terrible, but it's evident. But it's just like, you think they would get this sorted. You think, like, there's so many things have gone wrong in the past with this club. It's think, right, let's just do things properly for once. And they haven't done it again. And I was speaking to my dad about it, at the game. I don't know who this is, but he was saying you can only charge a maximum of £25 for your ticket. Well, that's what he's read.
Well, I mean, if you're a season ticket holder, that's, I presume that's what equates to a single ticket.
Yeah.
Given the discount you get you know.
If it does, yeah, that's fine. If it does, but if yours could, no, because he said any surplus goes to Everton in the community. It's probably not true. He's probably just heard it or read it somewhere. But if that's the case, it's a little bit wrong, that, isn't it? You're getting shortchanged on the season ticket you paid for.
Yeah, I think who knows, that might be the issue why it's taken so long, that they need to sort of work out what it means per annum, or, you know, what discount you get for being a season ticket holder. And then, you know, if there's an excess, if there's a surplus when you sell that ticket, for instance, Les, if you put yours on there and it worked, I can't remember what it works out as, your season ticket, obviously depends where you're sitting in the ground. But if they put that for sale at the price of your ticket divided by 19, you know, when you've paid your bulk sum, yeah, or by direct debit, that's obviously going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than if a person was to buy it as a walk-up.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, if you take off the, if you get what you paid basically for your ticket and then they take off any surplus, that's fair enough, yeah.
I agree, because, I mean, you're only taking it off a season ticket. You're not buying a genuine walk-up, are you? But it's how they sort of differentiate between what they do with that surplus. Should it go back to you? Because you, unfortunately, in many circumstances, would have to sell your ticket, or should it go to someone like Heaven in the community? That's where that room of your dad's head makes sense, really, doesn't it? Because nobody makes a profit from it then, which I suppose was what they're trying to do in the first place with it. But yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because we all work in a digital world, don't we? We're constantly around computers and technology and stuff like that. Why on earth it would take so long for a database to be set up, because they've got all the information they need. They've got everything they need from all the season ticket holders. They've got our names, addresses, bank details. How hard can it be to put that onto an interface and allow people to access tickets that you want to become available? I don't understand. And I don't think it's the last we'll hear of grievances with tickets. Indeed, I don't think it'll be the last we hear up to this weekend. Whoever's going over to Leeds, could be the guinea pigs for some certain things that perhaps go on with the way fans travelling over. But the good thing is we haven't heard anything from other clubs or other fans who've struggled to go to away games so far in post-pandemic. So hopefully it's the same for all of our fans who go over there. Besides, I think that'd be the least of worries going to Leeds away, to be honest.
Yeah, we always find something to moan about, don't we? You know, first came back for ages. You know,
but the thing is, Matt, it's a genuine concern, because if you can't, you build yourself up, and I think we spoke a lot about this in the post-match, if you build yourself up to go into a game again, and for some people it'd be quite a brave decision, I imagine, as well, given you know, the health situation and stuff over the last 18 months, and might be a little bit cautious about going to a match and being among so many people who within touching distance of them. These sort of things don't help, and those sort of things seem to be the stuff that should be dealt with quite comfortably and quite easily. If you're a football club with Premier League resources, it shouldn't be difficult to sort this out before anyone enters a stadium, in my opinion.
Yeah, fair enough. But when we all did get in there, it was great. Obviously, Davey spoke on the post-match, Les. What did you make of the whole experience and being back in and that side of it before we speak about how the lads played?
It was a bit of a roller coaster. It was very emotional, wasn't it? You know, I didn't exactly break down, but there was definitely there was a lump in the throat sort of when they had the list of people up, but we won't go into that again. We had the list of people up who died from COVID, sadly. That was really emotional with the sort of orchestra Zed cars playing in the background. And when the game kicked off, that was emotional to see everyone sort of there and cheering the team on. Round us, there's usually quite a couple of seats empty every game. It was full. I don't think I've ever seen where we sit absolutely full, every seat taken. That was just dead nice. It was just really, really nice to be back in. Can't really put it into words. And then I think after sort of that initial sort of euphoria and the sort of singing died down a little bit, and then Southampton started with their repertoire, you know, Is This a Library and all that before 3:10. That's how it goes every game. It kind of settled down and back into normality, even leading up to when Southampton scored that goal, when you really thought, yeah, Everton are back now, aren't they? This is it. But yeah, loved it. I don't think I've seen the kids as happy at a game since we beat Man United 4-0. So I think just seeing them there and being that happy at the game, it just meant an awful lot to be in there.
Yeah, that's something actually I didn't really think about until today. I saw the club put like a bit of a montage of photos up of like you know, young kids and stuff, and talking about people getting to the first game. And I imagine there's like a whole cross section of parents who've had, you know, boys and girls get to the age where they want to start going to the games over the past 18 months, and they've not been able to go, you know, and they've been waiting for that first game for so long. So it's something I didn't really think about. But again, I'll come to you first, Les, on the performance. At our time, I was certainly thinking the worst and feeling like, oh God, it's going to be a long season. 40 points feels like it's miles away here. But they turned it around, didn't they? I don't necessarily think Everton played well, but they were more aggressive, they were more positive. And they had players in Richarlison and Abdoulaye Doucouré in particular that just sort of put their head above the parapet of what was a bit of a mediocre game and showed the quality.
Yeah, I think that first half, it was just two teams being very cautious and just feeling each other out. I mean, Southampton, I think that was a bit of a patched up team there, wasn't it? And it wasn't, you didn't really do anything in the first half to suggest that they should have gone in 1-0 up. Obviously, that chance that they scored off was given to them on a plate by Keane. So yeah, I just thought that first half, it was just a very tentative game where neither side really looked like they wanted to go for it. But I wasn't that bothered at half-time because I thought they've shown absolutely nothing and we can't be as bad in the second half. They were famous last words. How many times have you been at half-time thinking, we can't be that bad in the second half? It gets to 80 minutes and we've been worse because we're still 1-0 down.
Well, that's what happened last season all the time, wasn't it, effectively? Yeah. We found ourselves behind. It was like, right, they've got to come out and do something different. And it did get even worse. It just, you know, disintegrated even more.
Yeah, but it's sort of, this is what I hoped that Benitez would bring to the side. You get them fit so they're not flagging after 70 minutes, which they weren't. He'll up the intensity and, you know, if they need a bit of a kicking at half-time, he'll give them a bit of a kicking at half-time, which, you know, no one knows what happens in the changing rooms apart from the players and the manager, but it does seem that if he didn't give them a rocket, he definitely told them, you need to go out and attack this game because it's there for the taking, which, you know, it's easy to look back and sort of slag everyone off for last season, but you never got the feeling that ever happened at half-time in any game, certainly at home last season. And, you know, we've got the players there who can attack. That team was set up to attack Southampton. Didn't do it enough in the first half, and then we just blew them up the water in the second half. It was a good Everton performance that second half because everything the team did got the crowd up, which is exactly what we need. He did it early in the second half, so we weren't getting to that 60, 70 minutes, 80 minute point where we're thinking, oh God, we're not going to turn this round. They got the goal early, and then they just went for them. And just think seeing that, that last goal from Calvert-Lewin was just a very, very Everton goal. It was just great to see. And the atmosphere that second half was outstanding. Yeah, just great, whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point that Les has made there, Dave, actually, in regards to, you know, all the things the players did got the crowd up. And I suppose while we can sit here and say, well, the manager's obviously still going to be learning about that because he's new to the job. And, you know, Townsend and Gray are as well. I suppose that applies for players like Alan and Doucouré as well, doesn't it? Because they've not been at the football club and played in front of a full Goodison before, you know. And on Blue Room Breakfast this morning, I was reading quotes from Seamus Coleman about how he put a slide tackle in on one of their fullbacks in the first half. He probably didn't really need to do because he knew it was going to get the crowd going. He took the ball, it got them up. And I suppose that even though they've been here for a while now, players like Alan, players like Doucouré, and obviously all the new lads as well, and the new manager, they're still going to be learning about what it takes to sort of ignite this crowd, isn't it? And, you know, they got a good little impression of that, I think, at the start of the second half in those first 5 minutes where just doing basic things, but doing them with a bit of aggression really got the fans on side.
Yeah, I'm not sure Seamus should be admitting to that, to be honest with you. I'd probably keep that under my hat, you know, and just actually do it and not reference it whatsoever as a way of getting the crowd.
I got the sense he might have been asked directly about it by the club's in-house journalist, yeah, to be fair.
Ah, fair enough. Yeah, it's not a major thing anyway, is it? But what is a major thing is these players having that support, and it shows you. I think many people, many cynics over the years would suggest that the Everton crowd don't really have an effect on football games, and that's probably, you know, the origins of that probably come from the fact that the crowd has been an issue for quite some time. We've discussed it many times, haven't we? When the atmosphere hasn't been great. So for the days when it is rocking, the days when it does get up and it does have an effect, it's there for the players to see and to use as well. I think if you're an Alan, if you're, you know, a player that hasn't seen or heard an atmosphere at Goodison. And let's face it, these are seasoned professionals. They'll have heard it at different grounds and throughout their career. It'll be nothing new to them. But the fact that it's there and now a feature where it wasn't for the last 18 months should be a big shot in the arm for many of them when they need it as well. I mean, you can think of many, many circumstances last season where you look at the team, the way they've played, certain things that have happened in games where you wish the crowd were there to either hopefully inspire, but would give a bit of a grumble, would give a bit of a moan to say to the players, look, this isn't unacceptable. We expect something a little bit better, some more effort from you, perhaps. I think it's twofold, isn't it? I think most players will embrace it. There'll be others who think, oh God, I'm quite scared of putting the ball to, you know, misplacing a pass and stuff like that. How will they react to that? That's up to them, isn't it? You would hope that it's going to be a thing where they think, God, I can't do this. I don't want the crowd grumbling and moaning my way if I put a misplaced pass somewhere or give the ball away and when I'm under pressure or whatever. I think hopefully that's a positive thing. I think many footballers would see it as a positive thing, and hopefully it's something that they find gets an extra 10, 20% out of them when they're on the pitch for us this season.
Yeah, and that Decore goal, I mean, I don't know how many times you've both watched it. I'm still trying to work out if he absolutely wallops it or it's just really accurate. And I've watched it so many times now, and I still can't work out if he hits the shot that hard. It's almost like it's on his foot and then it's not. It's like it doesn't actually move through space. It just appears from his foot and then it just ends up in the top corner somehow.
Well, I was listening to you saying that on post-match, and it's funny because we've got two totally different perspectives of that goal, because I'm right up at the back of the park end and you're in amongst it in the Gladys. So you said it just left his foot and hit the top corner. Where we were, you saw it leave his foot and you just saw it bend into the top corner. It was the classic goal that gets scored against Everton down that end. I have seen that goal scored against us so many times where it just leaves the attacker's foot. You think, yeah, that's flying in, and it goes in top corner. It was perfect the way he hit it. I have watched this so many times over, especially with that foreign commentary where he just screamed.
Abdullah. Oh,
it's brilliant, yeah. But I mean, it was just, that was when the roof lifted off, wasn't it? That was when it was like, oh my God, this is good now. We were like, we were one all at that point, in control. And then as soon as that went, it was like, yeah, we've got these. This is it. And that was great. And to score a goal like that, as I said, they usually get scored against us.
Yeah. Have you've had it on repeat as well, Dave, with that mad commentary?
Yeah. I think I've seen several different versions. I think I've probably seen it from Abdoulaye Decore himself at some point. I've played.
Well, they've come up on that thing, haven't they, where, you know, they do the all angles, the goals from all angles, and they put it on there.
Yeah, it's. I love the way they've done that. That's a real sort of innovation they've done, isn't it, over the last couple of years, which is really nice. The goals from all angles, and yeah, I mean, it's just it's a bit of a strange goal, really, because I just don't expect it to happen. I think when he decides to turn back after this initial chance to shoot with his left foot, and then to do like a bit of a 360 and then hit the ball right into the top corner, it's a really unexpected goal, because you. I think if you listen to the crowd, it's as if all of us feel that the moment's gone and that the best he's going to do is maybe lay it off to whoever's in the right-back slot, right-wing slot, to invariably cross it to Rose Ed in the Gladys Street. I think many of us would sort of resign to that happening, but the fact he does sort of break the mould, and there was, I was using phrases like that on the post-match of like shedding his skin, breaking out, all the phrases like that, where I think Decore, I'd like to see a lot of that this season. I think there's it's almost like a Hulk-like persona that he takes on at times in games, and I'd like to see that a little bit more from the off. And I think Benitez would have learned a lot from him in that second half performance, because I think in the first half, I wouldn't say he was playing within himself, but I think there was a little bit more selflessness from his performance in midfield, helping Alan. I think we got overwhelmed a few times midfield from Southampton, and with the second half, he very much decided that this was his game. He was going to be the one that controlled it, and nobody got in his way. And if he tried to, they ultimately failed. So I want to see more of that, much more impressionable Decore from the off. And hopefully it's something Benitez has noticed. I doubt. Decore seems to me like somebody who wouldn't break rank. He seems someone to me a little bit like Leighton Baines was, who just went about his job as the ultimate professional and very, very rarely stepped out of line. Whereas in the second half, I think he got angry, and I think that there was something somewhat of a, you know, a little bit more feral performance from him, a little bit more of a natural take on the game. And that's what he brought with the goal and the performance afterwards as well. He decided to drive. People just bounce off him. He's a big, powerful, strong, intelligent player. And I hope that's the Decore we see and not the one that feels he has to help out in other areas. I'd like to see him play with a little bit more freedom. I think he has so many good attributes about him that I think it might be quite easy for a manager to say, I need to do a job for me here this week, rather than just say, play your natural game to him. I think he's a little bit sacrificial like that as a player, but I want to see more of the second half from him because I think that he's absolutely got that in his locker. We saw it a bit at Watford. Hopefully we see a hell of a lot more of it this season.
Yeah, just picking up on what you said there, Dave, about normally that I'd get passed out to the right back trying to cross in. I hope we see more of that now from players to just have a shot. When you're in that position, if you see the goal, just lash your foot at it. You know, it might go over 9 times out of 10, but that one time it doesn't, that happens and it's worth it. And you just think, players often, they seem too scared to take a chance like that. You will try and play it safe and sort of craft the perfect goal instead of just, you might even scuff it and it takes a deflection. And go, the more shots you, it's obvious, but the more shots you have, the more chances you've got of scoring, especially in situations like that where it's a packed area and it could go anywhere. And, it could go in the top corner if you hit it right. It can break to anyone. So we just think if you can cause as much chaos as possible, because we are getting bodies in the box as well. And noticed on Saturday, it was back to that getting more people in the box at once again, which is what you need. So, it's not the sort of thing you want to be doing like in injury time when you're chasing the game, because you do need to keep hold of the ball and try and craft the perfect goal at that point. I think times like that in the game when it just drops to players, hopefully we'll see more of them just swinging a foot at it.
Well, if you flip that on its head as well, what are the chances that layoff to the person who's going to be crossing it materialises in us having a chance on goal anyway when, I don't want to go down this route too much, but I will dip my toe into the water. You're laying it off to Seamus Coleman or Alex Iwobi.
I think Coleman now needs to do that little scoop into the box instead of crossing it. Because
that was lovely, that. I mean, it was creative. It was... I don't know, he persevered, didn't he? There was no obvious... The angle of his body was that he couldn't whip a ball in. Yeah. He's literally just looking for a pass, and the only thing that was on was to loop it over one of their players' heads to a wall. Was it a wall beer?
Yeah. It was just a little bit out the ordinary. Like, you just don't really see players do that in that situation. They have a drive to the byline or cross it in, so...
I was actually expecting him to... It looked like quite a frustrating move in the end because it started to break down a little bit, and I was expecting when he cuts inside to just have a pot shot with his left that'll just be sliced out for a throw-in or something. So for him to have that composure and presence of mind to scoop it up to keep possession, if nothing else, was just really nice.
Yeah, thought he had a good game, Seamus, apart from when he got sat down at the end. But, Bacinapa is a skillful player that can do that to anyone. But I've watched that goal again then when you're talking at the core A1, just to try and get a bit of a measure on it. And I think it's just the fact that his leg doesn't really seem to come through that fast. It's just like it's very slow, but he just strikes it so cleanly, and it just sort of. Do you know what it reminds me a little bit of? And Dave, you'll probably get this reference a bit. It's like a Fred Couples golf swing, where it just looks so easy, and it's just it goes through the ball, hardly any sort of pace on it at all. But then you go, bloody hell, that's gone miles, a breakneck speed. But it just looks so easy. But I probably watched a few more times before the end of the week. But let's move on to have a chat about some other bits. Two lads who weren't involved on Saturday, first and foremost. Like I said, James Rodriguez is never off Call of Duty, never off his Twitch, so this could all be redundant by the time this podcast goes out. I don't know how he's got time to do anything, be on his Xbox that much, to be honest. I would not get away with that with my missus. I've got jobs to do, things to cook, places to clean. But James is on COD 24 hours a day. His latest update is he posted something yesterday, which was in line with Atletico Madrid's club motto, although he's come out and since said that it was just a coincidence and he's not going there. I think we're also at a weird point with this now, aren't we, Dave? We've gone through a few cycles of it, and I feel like social media have gone through a few cycles of it where... when Carlo Ancelotti went, everyone sort of thought, right, that's him going to go as well. Then everyone saw him looking really happy out in Florida and thinking, he's going to stay. This is great. He's going to work with Benitez. Then we've had the situation where fans have got annoyed with Benitez from not being involved. And I think now because we've won and Benitez has got a bit of credit in the bank and Rodriguez is on Twitch dropping these updates every day, people are just getting a bit fed up with him now and sort of want this all to be to be boxed off. Becoming a bit of a soap opera, isn't it? Where do you stand with it all at this point?
I don't really care what he has to say on his social media. I think it probably does make quite an awkward situation a little bit worse, but that's the way modern players act now, isn't it? That's the way modern players do things. They want to communicate with fans in different ways, different technologies, probably getting paid a shed load to do it when he does it. That's how they work. I think many people will consider it unhelpful given the circumstances. Obviously, there's so many. So many of us who want him to stay. I want him to stay. I want to see what he can do. I think this romantic notion that everyone's got, oh, I need to see him in real life, has got a little bit tiresome now. I get it. I do get it. I think there's.
I do sort of feel like people are getting past that now, though. It's sort of
I do, but it's like
maybe like in pre-season he tore it up and scored a couple of goals, or you know, made a few great passes. But it sort of feels like even the people in America who watched them play, you know, remember Lyndon saying on one of our shows, you know, I seen him play, but he absolutely stuck the gap out, so it wasn't really what I expected.
But I also feel that like whichever your mindset is here, whichever camp you're in, Team Benitez or Team James, the way it seems to be working out, it seems to be used as a stick to beat Benitez with. The fact that he's not involved, the fact that there seems to be a breakdown in relationship and communication between the management, and that's just an interpretation of it. Obviously, the isolation thing, everyone's going to put two and two together, aren't they, and come up with their own decision on where they stand with this. And it's not helpful. But my own personal take on it is I don't think he's going to go anywhere because I don't think anybody's going to come in for him. And then, secondly, I don't think anybody can afford him. You've seen how difficult transfers have been in this window. You've seen how difficult players' wages have been to negotiate unless you're in that elite bracket. Unfortunately for James, on his side of things, he doesn't find himself in that bracket of a Romelu Lukaku, a Jadon Sancho, a Jack Grealish. Might well be as good as them technically, yes, but he's the wrong side of 30 years old now. That doesn't add up well when clubs across the globe are looking to put offers in for footballers. I bet you it pretty much takes him out of a lot of boxes for many clubs when they're looking to buy players. Now, whilst Everton might well just settle for getting him off the wage books because it's a hell of a burden, I think, to have his wages on our books right now, given the financial limitations that people seem all too keen to stress at the moment. I think that he's in limbo, and I think the best thing he could do would be to get off COD and get his head down and work and get off Twitch or whatever it is he's using. What a name as well, Twitch. Is it Twitch?
That's what it's called, I think.
Yeah,
he needs to get off that and look, if he's going to be staying, I want him to make a contribution. If he's not going to be staying, then it needs to be done quickly, and that's not going to be the case. I think he stays. I just hope it's in better circumstances than it is right now.
I sort of feel as though, Les, as well, you know, Dave's right, and he does end up staying, then Benitez is the ultimate pragmatist, and you sort of feel as though being the ultimate pragmatist, and, you know, looking at what he's got and getting the best out of that squad, I sort of feel like he probably will find a way to use him in certain games and, you know, help him make the team better. But I think Paddy did an interesting piece on The Athletic today about how the emphasis of the team has changed now. We're playing more direct football, more aggressive football off the ball. Everyone's sort of got a chip in defensively, so it doesn't really suit him. But yeah, it's an interesting situation, isn't it? I mean, as Dave put it, are you in Team James or Team Benitez or neither?
I'm fully Benitez now. I bought into it.
Have you got the Rapatola costume?
I've got it. It's ready. It's a blue one, though. Yeah, at the start of mailbag, we do the Raffograph to see where everyone's up to. So I think I'm probably about a 9 after the weekend. Where are you? So North is getting the bed sheets out. 10 outfits out. So I think I'm about a 9. I'm that far from a Cardinal outfit.
I think I'm probably I was probably on about 5 and moved up to 6 from the weekend. So starting to stay neutral. I don't know what that is. Maybe I'll go and buy his book and read it. That's what being 6 is. That's what being 6 on the scale is. Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I'm I don't think I'll ever hit bed sheet level, no matter how bad it gets. But I don't know. They make you do crazy things, this football club, don't they?
Dave's going around people in the BBC and saying, "Let me talk to you about facts."
Well, I forgot about that. Yeah, it was on. They've been doing the Premier League years a lot, obviously, with the season coming back. I don't know if any of you've seen it, but that was one of them. Yeah. That was the year they very nearly 08-09, wasn't it? And it's quite funny actually, because I do remember we grabbed a 1-1 draw at Anfield in that season. Tim Cahill scored late on. We got a 1-1 draw there, and obviously at the time it felt like we put a massive dent in Liverpool winning the title, and he was the manager. So yeah, I do think it's quite easy, isn't it, to delve into the memory bank and realise why you never did like this guy. But yeah, I'm trying to stay away from that and trying to give him every chance. And look, he's played the blinder so far. I thought his subs were good. I thought, you know, he proper involves himself in the games. You can't accuse him of not being passionate about Everton and being, you know, a manager that loves to sort of gee his players up from the touchline. I think we'll need a lot of that, particularly away from home. So, yeah, good luck to him. But yeah, it's it can play with your head a little bit, can't it, when you think about all this? Like, it's something I think that if we go and lose like 5 on the spin or something like that, I'll be all too happy to open that particular balls in the memory bank to delve into it.
Yeah, just on the Rodriguez thing then, I think after that display on Saturday, I know it was only Southampton, and you know that I think they're going to be in trouble this season. It showed that we have got a different way of playing though, because last season we didn't. We basically give it to Rodriguez, he'd pick out Luka Dean, we'd score that way, or we'd get a set piece and we'd score that way. It was pretty sort of one-dimensional. Now we've got pace, we've got players who are prepared to cross it and get bodies in the box. And you do kind of think Rodriguez could fit into that because he's going to have a lot of options in front of him. So it would be nice to get him in the team. But I think he's very much at this point a nice to have and not sort of integral to anything, which is probably the situation we want to be in, because we don't want to be relying on him, because we've seen last season that you can't. But, you know, we knew that when we signed him that we couldn't. So, you know, I hope he stays. I really do hope he stays. I'm not convinced he will, not least because there is previous between them two as well, isn't there? But it would be really nice if, you know, if he becomes an option that we've got and we can use when we need him. And then he himself has got more options up front, you know, to pick out. It's just nice to have a different way of playing. And I don't know. I mean, don't want to get ahead of ourselves, because probably did this when Koeman's first game, when we went at Spurs for 70 minutes and we're like, oh my God, this is brilliant. We're pressing football. This is great. And we did do it again for the 2 years he was there. But I'd like to think that Benitez he's gone into this season and he's clearly been told at some point he's not going to be able to sign many players, or he's not got much of a budget. So he's gone out and got the sort of 3 players that he definitely needs. 2 pacey strikers / wingers and a backup keeper. So it's obviously a very deliberate plan, and I just hope we stick with it now, because it's exciting to see.
Yeah, and I think it'd be good if he did stay. You know, he can't cross a ball. You know, he's probably the best crosser of the football at the football club still. But it's just the other side, isn't it? You know, you couldn't play him on the wing in a 4-4-2 like we did at the weekend. So, yeah, we'll wait and see how that one developed. Sort of elsewhere, you know, mentioned at the start of the show, it's been reported by Craig Hope from the Mail, who's obviously very well connected up at Newcastle, that also Southampton are looking at Sean Longstaff. £10 million, apparently. Didn't realise his contract's up at Newcastle next summer, which might explain why it's maybe, you know, quite low in that regard. This is a player, Dave, who was linked with Manchester United a couple of years ago for £50 million. I think Newcastle turned down, albeit he'd only played about 9 Premier League games, I think, at this point. But he's had a bad injury, had to work his way back, hasn't quite been able to work his way back in at Newcastle under Steve Bruce. What do you make of this one? I mean, first and foremost on the player, and secondly, is that an area we need to be looking at spending what I'd imagine is quite a little amount of money we've got left at the moment?
Yeah, I think I'll answer that bit secondly. First of all, on the player, I think very easy for people to taint footballers by what club they play for. I think that needs to be stated first of all. He's a good player. I think he's better than his brother as well. You're right. I think a couple of years ago, he did look like one of the hot talents in the Premier League. Quite a mobile midfield player, box to box, can move it around, can play a defensive midfield role if you want, can play a little bit forward if you want that as well, and he can shoot. He's the brother that scored the goal against United, isn't he, a couple of seasons ago? Is that the other one?
No, that's the other one.
Is he the younger or older one we're talking about now?
So Sean's the blonde one and Matty's the ginger one.
Well, that helps.
So
who's the younger of the two that burst onto the scene?
That was that Matty Long stuff, but I don't think he was ever considered the better of the two. Ever,
right, really. Yeah, so, okay. But yeah, when I've seen him play, and I am talking about the right one.
Are you sure you know which one it is?
Now that you've given me the distinctive hair colours, Matt, yeah, absolutely. But they had similar type of players too. I was impressed. I think he's decent. But what's decent playing for Newcastle? Now, I've just immediately contradicted what I said there. You shouldn't judge a player by who they play for. But it's easily the type of player I think that people get carried away with when you do sort of get linked with a big money move. And that with Tom Davis, didn't it, as well? And that's what I see. I see quite a lot of that. I see similarities in that, in terms of being like overly hyped from an early on stage in the career. And then it fizzles out and you're wondering, is this lad really up to it? Can he be good enough? And look, as we all know all too well, it's taken Tom a long, long time to get over that and to find himself on somewhat of an even keel at Goodison and in a position where he can really kick on with his career. That said, he wasn't included on Saturday as well, which might be a little bit telling there. But it's a player Benitez knows well. It's somebody, I think, given our limited transfer budget that people consistently bang on about at the moment, that's going to take a fair, if not all, of the money they want to spend acquiring a player minus wages. So, you know, if Benitez wants him, then that, you know, I think he'll have been made more than aware that this is it, effectively, unless we go and get some loans and maybe some free transfers. There's other players out there. Seeing the American striker we're linked with, who plays over in Germany today, because
it's Hop, Schalke,
which is another interesting one.
Seems like a bit of a snide, which I'm all for.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, snide. He'll probably score 5 in 40 games, and we'll be left with him and his wages and trying to shift.
Hey, it's a better record than Moise Keane's got for us. That, to be fair. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's another one to talk. I mean, it seems to be a theme this week, doesn't it? Players on social media. He's put all his pictures back up, hasn't he? All of his Everton pictures, all of the times he scored all those goals for us. He's put all them back up, all two of them. So, wonder what happens there. But yeah, with Longstaff, and midfield is an area I'd still look at with a bit of concern. I think people would paper over the cracks with it, given the issue that's glaringly obvious, which is right back and probably up front as well. I think we need another player up front, but it's still an area where we need improving all over the pitches. Unfortunately, I think we do lack in most areas on the pitch. And when you look at a 40-odd game season, you know, there are a lot of glaringly obvious holes, not only in the first 11, but also in the squad as well, that do need to be filled in. So, yeah, but it does seem to me it's going to be one that the manager favours. I don't know what Marcel Brands thinks. This is a lad, what is he, early 20s, mid-20s?
24.
Yeah, mid-20s, who Brands probably looks at and thinks, well, you know, if he's going off them sacred words, sell on value, then that might be something in this here. But look, he's a player I thought was decent. I think he's an average Premier League midfield player. Do Everton need an average Premier League midfield player? Well, if he's got legs and can run, I'd probably say yes. But I don't remember him being a whippet. I don't remember him being quick. I don't remember him being strong. Remember him being a decent passer of the football who could shoot. So, don't know. Do you put all your eggs in one basket? Do you put all your transfer funds into one paycheck? I'm not so sure, but it's an area I think we need, but probably not the priority right now.
I'm still not sure you know which one he is. I'm still
well,
not
if it's
quite
either
convinced.
Of them, I think what I've just said fits to both of them, doesn't it?
It applies blanket to both of them. Yeah. But no, I think you're right. I think he's more of a passer than a runner. He's more of like a pivot sort of player who get it and spread the ball. But Les, you know, if Longstaff did come in, then this could potentially pave the way at last for Tom Davis to become a full-time right-back option. So I'm sure with that in mind, you're absolutely all for it.
When you put it like that, I am definitely all for it. I actually don't know anything about either of the Longstaff players. I don't really know anything about any players until we sign for Everton. But as Dave said, if he's got legs and can run, it puts him ahead of about 75% of our current midfield. So, yeah, I'm all for that. I would love to see Tom Davis ride at right back. People will be just like probably on whatever device they're listening to this on now saying, shut up, knobhead, something like that. But I think he'd be good at right back. I think the attributes that you need to be a decent right back. You can go forward, you can tackle, he's a decent passer.
Is this like the new Leighton Baines in midfield?
Yeah, basically. So as Leighton Baines could have been the new Philip Lahm, Tom Davis could be the new Gary Stevens. There you go, said it.
There we go. Maybe he'll play there on Saturday at Leeds. Who knows? Maybe that's what he's saving him for. We'll finish off quick 5-minute chat on that back at Elland Road on Saturday. Mixed sort of omens going into this one, Les, because Leeds are back at Elland Road for the first time in the Premier League with a full stadium, so it's going to be absolutely rocking. Of course, they play in a way which you think is, you know, you'd imagine will cause us problems given the energy and the attacking variety we've got. But they got absolutely smashed in the last half an hour by United at the weekend. And obviously United were on it and have got some great attacking players, but there's definitely defensive vulnerabilities there that, you know, the likes of Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison could exploit. But how are you feeling going into this one? I sort of feel as though with the atmosphere and the way it's going to be and, you know, how revved up they're going to be, that Everton just needs to get through the first 20 minutes here and sort of take it from there.
Yeah, it's almost like this has been postponed from last year. So it's almost like playing the newly promoted team in the first game at home. I've had it's Leeds and they're a bit of a rabid crowd anyway, because that, it will be loud there. I imagine it to be a sort of similar atmosphere to when we played Villa the other year. And
beat, you know, Villa, we go top day, that one.
That beat Villa, we go top day, yeah. I feel like the atmosphere is going to be something like that. And it's, you know, it's a lot to play against in that situation. But, and, you know, and also Leeds played legging it everywhere for 90 minutes. We did it last season. We kind of dispatched them quite relatively easily. I think last season it was a pretty straightforward away win. Obviously, it will be different with the fans there this time. But I think, as you said, play the way United did, get down the middle. That seems to be a big, big hole you've got in the middle of the pitch there that you can exploit. So, you know, Benitez is very much a manager who takes every game as it comes. He's got no sort of set way of playing. He will be looking at that on Saturday, and, you know, you'll probably want to try, well, I'd say the best thing to do would be try and replicate that. They'll obviously be looking at that game themselves and thinking, well, we can't do that again. But I think when they've got a very sort of rigid way of playing, they've sort of basically got one way of playing against everyone. So it's not as easy for them to just sort of say, well, we'll have to put that right because that's the way they play. So I think that United game can give us a lot of confidence going into it. But as you say, I think ride out the first 20 minutes, see how we get on. Fully expecting us to concede in the first minute now.
Dave, how do you feel about it? You know, I know you're going at the weekend. The atmosphere should be amazing, shouldn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm quite worried about that, to be honest with you. I think we discussed in me, like, Southampton's probably the home game you want. Leeds away is probably right down the list of the away game you want. The first game of the season, going somewhere, who haven't had fans in. Look, it's the first time in the Premier League for them for many, many years, isn't it, for many of those fans going to watch their team at Elland Road. So, yeah, it's going to be a cauldron. I think last season, I was going to reference last season's game, but I don't think it'll have any bearing on it whatsoever, because I think we played pretty well when we went to Leeds and deserved our victory at Elland Road.
Probably the best away performance of the season, I'd say, that one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think
first half in particular, they were excellent.
Don't you think already, though, this feels like a very different team to the one last season? I know it's only one game and it's easy to get carried away. The dynamic of the team seems very different now, though. So we can't really compare it to anything that happened last season.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll be interested to see, Les, is that was when we were decent on the counter-attack, if I recall, at that time. And the thing that I don't think we obviously haven't seen it yet under Benitez. I do wonder if that's something that's been sacrificed to try and come up with a game plan that's a little bit more pragmatic and one that can sort of endure side coming at you undoubtedly as often as Leeds will. That's where it will be different. Whether it's as effective remains to be seen. But I think it's the type of game where I'm worried about the first 20 minutes, because it's just going to be pandemonium, I think. Literally any time a Leeds player gets a ball in a fullback slot and decides to take it a few steps with the ball, the crowd are just going to be unbelievable. You have to absorb it. It's the thing where Everton have faltered so often, I think, and it's something that they've, I think, gladly last season they didn't have to put up with, which is probably why our away record was so good, because they didn't have to cope with that feeling of just being bombarded by 40,000 people plus the 11 that they're playing on the pitch. So from that point of view, you know, I'd probably take a draw right now. If you offered me 1-1, if you offered me 2-2, I would absolutely take it. I think we'll score. I don't think there's an issue there. I think we will score against them. They've got some serious vulnerabilities when you turn them round, Leeds. But if we can get through that first 20, where everyone's just going to be off their heads on adrenaline and really looking forward to this game, then I think you've got the best chance of it settling down, and then we can start trying to get our players involved and getting the ball forward and hopefully providing a cross or two for DCL. Because that's how we'll do it against these. I don't think they've got anybody to worry about whatsoever at the back. I think they've got a cracking young goalkeeper. It'll obviously feature if we are in the ascendancy, but I don't see them having centre half, so man Mark Calvert-Lewin out the game, you know, and then if that is the case, it's about getting those balls into. And I think we saw a lot of people have made too much of this. I don't think Townsend and Gray were that effective on Saturday. I thought there were a couple of nice moments, and I think a lot was made of it was like we put 19 crosses in and the average last season was 12, so get in there. I mean, they need to be pinpoint on his head for that to be a telling statistic, don't they? And a couple of them were wayward. There were a couple of decent ones. But I think that's where it's really going to bear fruit. They've got a couple of quick left-backs and right-backs. And we saw Ayling, didn't we, score that whopper against United. He loves to get forward. If we can get someone who pins him back, I think that nullifies a lot of what the good things that Leeds can do. Bamford doesn't worry me. I don't think he's quick. Then again, Michael Keane does worry me, and he's not quick. So, yeah, I'd take a draw it all in if you were to offer it me now, but I think we'll score. It's how we keep them out.
Yeah, should be good. It's one of those grounds that it's got bad memories of, obviously, from years ago, growing up and stuff like that. But
the Cup semi, we'll always have the Cup semi, won't we?
Yeah. Even when we played them in the League Cup, I went there and we got beat 2-1 and Francisco Junior played centre mid for us that night.
It was distance scored, didn't he?
Distance scored later on, yeah. And we just about...
horrible game, that.
Yeah.
We got a flyer, didn't we?
Yeah, it was a horrendous night, that one. Absolutely horrendous. But yeah, we'll wait and see what happens. But yeah, we'll do previewing of that game later in the week over on the Blue Room Extra. I'm speaking to Phil Hay from The Athletic, who's wonderful on all things Leeds. So looking forward to that. Yeah, we'll have more shows coming up throughout the week as well, including Mailbag. What are you doing it from this week, Les? Anywhere exotic or...?
Just back on Zoom this week.
Back on Zoom this week.
Big sell there.
Yeah, I know it was. No, I'm gonna try and do one of those live ones once a month, I think.
Yeah.
Be good. I'll be taking names for the next one soon.
Good stuff. But yeah, cheers to Dave. Cheers to Les. That's been your weekly show here on the Blue Room. If you want to come and join us over on the Blue Room Extra, it's patreon.com/theBlueRoomExtra. We get multiple shows every weekday, building up to and looking back on all of our football matches. And now, with the games coming thick and fast, it is a great time. But hopefully we'll see you over there. If you just listen to the free stuff, we'll be back again next week on the weekly.
Who are you? I'm you, from the future. What do you want? I want to tell you about Dave. Dave has your future money. Spend it on whatever you need. With extra cash from Dave, you can get up to $500 instantly with no interest and no credit check. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.